Of all the places that you could be, this is the best place. Not because I'm speaking, and not even because Dale is speaking, was speaking, but because of the message that we are trying to present, the message that we speak, that we are trying to tell, we take seriously. I'm not always serious, but when it comes to the message of the gospel, this is a message that is very important. I was just thinking there. The work that I'm involved with, I probably have worked on a project at work at Standard Air for about 1,000 hours. Probably have about 1,000 hours into it. And I received word last week that that project received approval. And so now we're good to go. Do you know what? That message really means nothing. The message that we want to proclaim, that want to tell you tonight, is a message that is so important. And we're not just speaking words just to speak words. We are speaking because it is our responsibility to present to you God's message and how your sins can be forgiven. So thank you very much for coming, and please come again. We're going to read in John chapter 5. It's in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the fourth gospel, John chapter 5. This is a story that happened while the Lord Jesus was here on earth. And I want to use this story to try and bring out some points, relate them to you and I and this man, and present to you the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So John chapter 5, verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. I'm just going to stop here for a sec. I never really noticed this before. But it says that Jesus went up. And it struck me, you know, this time of year, we're thinking of when Jesus came down. So I took out my phone, did a quick word search, and came down. I think come up 50 or 60 times. But 8 times in the New Testament, the words relating to Jesus came down are found in the New Testament. And 8 or 10 times it says that he went up. And I was just thinking, you know what? When the Lord Jesus moved, it was with purpose. We don't always move with purpose. Dean and I left last night. We were in the woods all day, and I was eating supper. I said, going out in the snowmobile? I was thinking about it. So we jumped on, and we went without purpose. We drove all the way to Tignish for no other reason than just to go to Tignish. Say we did it before the snow left. That's not how the Lord Jesus moved. Every move he made was with purpose, with intent. So here we read that Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And I can tell you that Jesus came down from heaven. And those words you'll find in John chapter 3, that the Son of Man came down. And maybe on Wednesday, maybe it just crossed your mind just for a second, maybe. Yeah. This is when they say Jesus' birthday. He came down. Why did he come down? I hope when you leave tonight, you'll understand why Jesus came into this earth. If I had been in his place and I had made the choice, I'd have said, no way. But he willingly came, knowing everything that was going to take place, and he came to provide salvation for you and me. So, let's get back. That was intentional. That wasn't just a cow path. I was thinking about that this afternoon. So he came down. Why did he come down? I hope you'll understand that by the end of this meeting. Verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches or five shelters. In these lay a great multitude, a whole bunch of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled or stirred the water. Whoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Can you imagine if we had a pool like that in O'Leary or in Summerside? People would be flocking around it, even if it was just once a year and one person. Well, that is the scene here. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 days. No, 38 years. That's a long time. So he was laying there for 38 years. Now, Jesus, remember I said Jesus moves with purpose? Jesus comes right to this very spot where this man is. He has been here for 38 years. And Jesus comes to him. When Jesus said, saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time, in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Will you be made whole? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. If we could read down a little bit further, you'd find out that the man didn't know that who this man was, but he finds out that it is Jesus. And Jesus shows him who he is. We're going to read one verse just to help illustrate the story, or hope that the story will illustrate the verse. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time or at the right time, at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. God will bless the reading of his word. This is the things that I've been thinking about this afternoon. Here's a man, and he's laying beside a pool. And all around him, here he is. He's obviously has some type of paralysis. He can't move. He has been there 38 years, and all around him are other sick people. Now, if we suppose that there was a pool like that, we've already suggested that, you know who would be there? No offense, but Dale will be there. We're pretty used to seeing Dale with his wheelchair, and we're glad he's here, but he'd be there. My Uncle Stanley has MS. He would be there. And you know what? I'd probably be there too, because I've got a hip muscle that bothers me. There would be all kinds of people there waiting, hoping, longing to get into that pool that at whatever time of year this happened, that the first person in could be better. Now, I think you would understand that. You'd understand that if this happened, we would want to be there. And all around, there's people. Well, what does it say? It says some were impotent, sick folk. Some were blind. It must be an awful thing to be blind. Most of what I do is hands-on, and I couldn't do it without my eyes. And I've tried. I can't even play the piano without my eyes. I can get about 10 chords out, and then I'm done. Imagine Wendy put a new Facebook picture up. I couldn't see her face. I wouldn't be able to see Jade's face. In 3 weeks, we have a grandson coming, and I wouldn't be able to see him. So there were blind people there. Who else was there? It says halt people, people that couldn't walk. Withered. People that had lost, for whatever reason, could be arthritis, it could be whatever, and a disfigured body. And they were all there because they had a need. But here is this man. There's another man. And here, we don't even know the man's name. But he has been there for 38 years. You know, that's longer than some of you have been alive. At one time, I used to be able to say that. I haven't even lived that long. Well, that's all water under the bridge now. But for 38 years, he was there waiting. He would see it. There was nobody to help him. And whatever way he tried to get, somebody would get there first. And then maybe you think, maybe next year. Maybe the next time. And the same thing. 38 years. No hope. No healing. And that's how the Lord Jesus finds him. Now let's just stop there for a minute. Why am I going into this story? Why am I emphasizing it? Because this man and all of the others that are there is painting a picture of you sitting in this meeting. Now, what do you mean? I can walk. I'm not blind. I'm not paralyzed. I'm not that bad. This story is painting a picture of you and I as we are born. What do you mean? The Bible describes very plainly that you and I, as we are born sinners. We are born away from God. The Bible says that a person who does not have their sins forgiven, one of the pictures is they are blind. I think it's in 1 Corinthians. 1 or 2 Corinthians says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And so what that means is, if your sins have never been forgiven, if you have never had a day in your life when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you are spiritually, you are blind. This is not physical. This is not physical blindness. I had an eye exam the other day, and a couple of years ago, I got bifocals. A wonderful thing. I hear people growling about bifocals. I was never so glad to get them because I was having a hard job reading. I was there a couple of weeks ago, and he said, yeah, you need a stronger pair. And I said, well, I'm glad I'm getting a stronger pair because I said, these aren't working anymore. But it's not talking about physical blindness. It is talking about our spiritual condition. That we can't see things the way God sees them. You know, we probably look at each other and say, yeah, these young fellows in the front row, they're pretty good fellows. You know what the Bible says? As well-dressed as they are and as respectable as they're listening, you know what the Bible says? One word, sinner. And we can get down the middle row and fine-looking people. You know what the Bible says? All have sinned. And even over on this side, Bible says that we are all under sin. And all these people that are here, some that are blind, it's a picture of you and I in our sin. It says, halt. Those that couldn't move, they couldn't walk. Do you know that you and I, in the condition that we are born, that we can't do anything for God? Anything that we do is stained with sin. I've used this illustration before. Tomorrow is going to be mild, so I will be in the shop, not in the woods. And if I come in at dinner time or at supper time, and I said, Wendy, I'm going to help you set the table. Let's use that white tablecloth that Mr. and Mrs. Price got us for our wedding. I don't think we've ever used it. You know why? Suppose this white, it was quite nice. I think we still have it. Suppose I come in from the shop and I never wash my hands. And I was working on a truck. Hands get pretty black. And suppose I said, I am going to help you set the table. And you say, that's a good thing to help set the table. And I take my hands and I grab the white. It's not white anymore, is it? That is what our sin does to anything that we do. We can do good things, but everything that we do is stained with sin. That's why you and I cannot work our way to heaven. Because of sin. And that's what this man pictures. And for 38 years, he is laying there with all these other people. And every one of them remind us of being in our sins. And so, you know, right from the front, right to the back, and behind the pulpit, we are all infected with the disease of sin. That is how we were born. And there are different stories in the Bible, and this is one of them, and it paints a picture of how serious and how debilitating our sin is. And here's this man, 38 years. And if you have never met the Savior, all your life, a sinner, a sinner, short of God's standard. I always wanted to be 6 feet. If I could have got to 6 feet, I would think, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to make it. I stopped at 5'9", and you know what? I'm short of that 6 foot standard. I will never reach it. I've got uncles. I had a great grandfather. They get over 6 feet. Not me. It'll never happen. You and I can never meet God's standard. And so here's this man. He is helpless. And in a sense, there's lots of people there, but he's alone. Nobody will help him. It is a picture of you in your sin. Until the day the Lord Jesus came. He came down. In this story, as he went up. But tonight, I want to tell you of a Savior who came down. And Jesus walks right to where this man is. It just wasn't a misguided trip to Jerusalem just to go. Not like Dean and I in the snowmobiles, just burning a bit of gas. And he went right to where this man was. He looks at him. He says, are you ever going to be made whole? He could have said someday, but you know what? He was honest. He says, no, I am unable to save myself, is basically what he was saying. He was saying, I see the water troubled, but I try to come. And while I'm coming, another steps in before me. No, I can't do anything. Wouldn't it have been a tragedy if the Lord Jesus would have just turned and said, well, hopefully someday you can. No, 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 no. The Lord Jesus came to where that man was so that he could be healed of his condition. And he speaks to the man. Do you realize that God is speaking? God has a message for you. Maybe you don't hear it because you're really just not that interested in hearing it. But if you were like this man and you understood, I am in a condition and I am going to die like this. And Jesus came and had a message for him. And tonight, there's a message from God. There's a message from the Lord Jesus for you. Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now, if I'd have been there, or you'd have been there, you'd likely said, what sort of a message is that? He's paralyzed. But this is not just an ordinary man speaking. This is the Lord Jesus. And it says that the man immediately rose up. He picked up his little cot, whatever it was, and he walked away. He listened to what the message from the Lord Jesus that was for him. And that man went away with his disease gone. Now tonight, where I want to bring this message in the last few minutes, forget about the paralyzed man, but think about yourself. You're like the man, you're without strength. There is absolutely nothing that you can do to take away your sin. Maybe some, I know some were brought up that way, that if you confessed your sins to a man, he would have the power to forgive sins. We could read in another place that even the religious people in this day, one day the Lord Jesus was there, and he said to a man, your sins be forgiven. And they said, who can forgive sins but God? And they were right. They were absolutely right. No one can forgive sins except God. And no preacher, no priest, no virgin, no one can forgive sins on earth here except for God. And that's who the Lord Jesus is. He is the one who can forgive sins. No one else. And tonight, your sins. What sort of condition? It's left you blind. It has left you helpless. It has left you facing really death, but a departure, a separation from God forever. Unless there is a remedy found, unless your sins can be forgiven. That is why the Lord Jesus came. It would only be 2 or 3 years after this story where the Lord Jesus would be taken. It was really because of envy and jealousy that the religious authorities took the Lord Jesus. But really, it was in the purposes of God that the Lord Jesus Christ would go to Jerusalem for the last time. And after that man had mocked him, beaten his back till the flesh was just all mangled and torn, and they would nail him to a cross. We can look at that and think, what an awful death the Lord Jesus died. And it was. Of all the deaths, of all the executions in that time, that was likely the most gruesome and terrible death one could die. And that's what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we looked at it that way, we say that is a terrible way to die. But when we look at Scripture, we see that there was a deeper purpose. We can read in Isaiah chapter 53, we can read words like this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, for our sins. We can go to the next verse and it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity, the sins of us all. You know what the message of the gospel is tonight? It is an even better than this man, a message than this man received that was by the pool. He received the strength and life in his body. Tonight the message for you is for your spiritual need. It is a message that if you accepted it tonight, your sins would be taken away. It's almost 38 years, not quite 38 years. It'd be 36 years, I suppose, next 37 years next year. And I found out just a few streets over that I was not ready to meet God. I thought I was. Maybe you're here tonight and you thought I was ready. You know, I found out at 15 years old that I was not ready. And 20 minutes from here in my parents' house, I understood that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. That is why he came down. The whole purpose of the Lord Jesus came from heaven to this earth was to put away sin by he himself dying on the cross. You see, you and I, we deserved punishment for sin. We still do. 36 years later, I still deserve punishment for my sins. But you know what? That punishment's been taken away because the Lord Jesus Christ, he took it for me. And that's why I read in Romans chapter 5 and 6, when we were yet without strength. You know what? I grew up coming to Sunday school. I grew up believing this Bible. I believed the I knew the message was right. But I was still in my sins and I was still without strength. Just like this man that was at the pool. I needed the Lord Jesus. When we were yet without strength, in due time, at the right time, at the appointed time, listen to these words. Christ died for the ungodly. We could say, Christ died for the sinner. Back those 35 years ago, I understood the Lord Jesus died for my sins. That is the message of the gospel. That's why we get a little bit excited sometimes. Because this is a message that would change your life. This is a message that if you would accept it, your sins would be taken away. This is a message that if you put your trust in, if you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you would be what the Bible says, saved, rescued, delivered from your sin. You would escape the punishment that is in front of you for your sins. If you're in your sins tonight, there's a day coming when you will be held accountable for everything that you have done. I think of some of the things that I did. Maybe not as bad as some things, but there's still sin. I am glad that is all taken away. Not because of anything I did, but because the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, when he died, he paid the penalty for my sin. We know what bills are. And if there was any good thing about the postal strike is that the bills didn't come, but there's a technology now, an email, and the bills still came by email, but they weren't showing up in the mail. You know what's nice? Is when that bill is paid. You know what's even better? When the bill is paid and you're not the one that had to pay it. And I had a bill, I had a debt of sin that I owed. And tonight it's marked paid. In fact, you can't even see it because God says it's gone. That is the message of the gospel. When we were yet without strength, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That man just listened to the words of the Lord Jesus, and he took him at his word, and he rose up and walked away. And tonight, if you would just simply rest on God's message, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins would be taken away. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We'll pray. Our Father, we give thanks tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a tremendous journey that was, what it must have been for him. And yet it was just a step for him. But we think of what it meant. It meant him going to the cross, his laying down his life. If it never would have happened, we would be eternally and hopelessly lost. And yet the gospel message is proclaimed. And even 2,000 years almost has gone since that event. And it is still being preached about. And what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, even today, it can take away sins. And so we pray for everyone here in this meeting who does not yet know the Savior, that even tonight they might be saved. Take us home safely, we'd ask. And then there are those that are mourning tonight, we would pray for thy blessing and care upon them. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.